Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you for this May 9th, May the 9th radio program 2020. And it is a doozy out there in the world right now. And of course, I'm getting all sorts of emails regarding the dooziness of it all. And I'm very grateful that people are listening. It is wonderful. By the way, if you're ever around on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we are doing a Zoom kind of get-together dialogue. And I get together with some of my students and we talk, or I have a subject. You can go to the website at aspire.org, see what the subject's going to be for the week. And you are invited to join us. I hope that you will. It's a lot of fun. It's interesting to hear what students have to say, what people have to say in general, and especially in this very unusual change of the world that we are in. And it is going to and has and will change the world. So here's where we are. Who knew? So I've got some wonderful questions that came to me a couple of weeks ago during the pandemic, and I'm going to get to them now. I'm going to try to keep up with everything I can with questions that people are asking. And it's kind of fascinating the way the questions have changed, their tone, their tenor, even where they're being asked from. All of these questions basically come from the Midwest and the Southeast. So I'm going to keep it at that level because I have not been given permission to say where they came from. So I'm just going to say that, and we'll see how this all pans out. I hope that all of this helps in one way or another. The first question here. Greg, this is from Rob. Greg, do you think we can change, as you say, into transformation through this pandemic? I think everyone is too angry and emotional to do anything really religious, Rob. Rob, transcendence is not religious. It is ultimately transcendental. It is something that exceeds religion in the traditional form. I just want to say that because I don't teach religion. I'm not into it at all. So I'm just saying that to you because it's important. It's important for me to be able to share that with you. You asked me, and it's interesting. Now, Rob, a little history. He emails me quite a bit and asks me not to share his emails. So I kind of have a feel for Rob, okay? And this is the first one he's allowed me to share with you. So I have a kind of a semi-pseudo relationship with him. And I hope that explains some things. Do you think we can change, as you say, to transcend? And he doesn't think so because we're too emotional. Rob, I would agree with you. I don't really see this. This is a time of great opportunity. This is one of the most exciting and transformational kinds of experiences we're ever going to have on a global level, other than a war, which wouldn't last long with our technology. So the exciting part is, can we see things for the way they are and change? Can we move beyond the concept of right and wrong, good and bad? Can we move into the meaning, the significance of everything that is important? We will never return to what we thought of as the norm. Never again. So now it becomes something else, something different. What are we going to do with the rest of our life, and how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to change? Well, the best we're going to be able to do is fight with ourselves to try to tolerate what is going on out there in the world and the kind of cavalier attitude that many people have about not covering their face or staying at home or keeping what they call social distancing, which is really just another form of being quarantined. We can't be near each other. And that is really interesting to me. I find that tremendously interesting to me, because that is what sets forth so many things in our life, our relationships with each other and how we deem them to be important, and how we can't be alone with ourselves. We really can't. So we're this needy kind of group of human beings that need to herd together to find our tribe and make tribes. And we find it very difficult to be an individual and to look at things from the point of view of how am I affecting you by my actions or the lack thereof of my consideration towards you? How am I reacting to that? You know, Americans are selfish people, just in general, Westerners, only because of their philosophy of thinking that they're free and they can do anything they want whenever they want. And so we go into this pandemic with the idea of looking at the betterment of another person, the safety of another person, over the desires of our body and our emotions that say to us, I got to get out, I got to be free, I got whatever, you know, you want to put to that, which is simply ridiculous. But there you are. That's what's going on. Are we going to transcend with that? No. So let me tell you what the basic premise of spiritual transcendence is. You have to be extremely generous. And this is not something that most people are. Generous meaning I have to be able to see how my actions might hurt another person. That's really being quite generous. And this is not something that is taught in schools or parents generally teach their children. And in a lot of people, it is not an innate attribute. They just don't have it deep within themselves. This, I care about you. I wouldn't do whatever it is that I would do to make your life miserable or hurt you. This past weekend here in Monterey, people flocked to the beach, and I heard that and read, you know, on the news that LA was just swamped. It was like a 4th of July, and people are not listening. It's, you know, this, the real pandemic is within a person. They just can't deny themselves. They can't discipline themselves. And, you know, we've seen the government is inept. I mean, if you haven't seen that by now, you'll never learn. This government, any government, is pretty inept. And you can't control people except through fear and threats of danger or imprisonment or whatever. And now none of that works. We're hitting the pandemonium button here pretty soon. So, no. Spiritual work, which really is something that requires the generosity of me considering that you're in my world, in my life, and anything I do outside common sense and compassion and love might hurt you. Would I be willing to give up my indulgences for the sake of being kind to you, thoughtful to you, mindful of you, and maybe what might happen to you if I weren't? And I don't think people really, really care about that at all. I don't. I think front line workers, nurses, doctors, the people who are there attending to us, number one, first of all, in any given situation where there is some kind of an emergency, These are generous people. I work with nurses, and I'm telling you, they're unusual. Not all. Most of them are devoted to their career and want to help. They really are. But there are, like anything, there are a few that only do it for the money. But to me, they are the key to the whole thing. Their kindness, they're willing to risk. And why do they do it? Because they want to help stop human suffering. And they're trying to help those that do suffer. There is an empathy in some of them, and in some of them, there's a deep compassion. And empathy and compassion, empathy being the lesser, but still vital, and compassion being the greater, necessary and maturing, is extremely important in these times. And to have those traits would allow a person to begin the process, Rob, of transcendence. So transcendence is a matter of perspective. Do I see my body for what it is? Do I understand the nature of the body I'm in? Do I understand, as Buddha said, how frail and petulant it is? What do I do with it? How do I live with it? What is it really all about for me? And do I just do whatever it wants, or do I harness my focus on others and realize my actions could hurt another person? I may never know what I've done to another person. I may not know, Rob. You know, you can carry this virus and not even know you have it. So I might not even know what's going on. But the thing is, would I endanger another person for the sake of my gratuitous needs? And for the most part, people, well, we saw it this weekend, and I don't know. It's beyond my realm of thinking and my pay grade. I say, love one another as I would want to be loved, and whatever is in the best interests of people, this being quarantined is no big deal. It really isn't. If it helps another person, an elderly person or whomever, I'm all for it. A child, I give up a trip to the beach that quickly. It wouldn't even matter. There you are, Rob. Hope it helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Carol. Have we changed, she asked, human nature, and can we change it? It just seems to me we're all acting out of the fear. Maybe it's time to be fearless, Carol. Carol, I don't know what you mean by changing human nature. Depends. I don't think that can be done. I've never seen it done. Not for, you know, large periods and chunks of time. People will lose weight, and then 6 months later, a year later, it's all back on. Changing human nature, I don't think we're doing a very good job of it. I think it rules our life. I don't know what you would call human nature. Human nature is based out of two elements. The first being that of DNA, which is our survival, our Darwinian side, as I like to call it. We're in a Darwinian economy. We're in a Darwinian relationship with our bodies and each other. It's survival of the fittest, and that's really all it is. And when somebody wants to, you know, not quote-unquote, I hate this term, social distancing, but when they do not want to keep a distance from another person for the sake not of fear but of respect and compassion for another person, if they don't want to do that, then there is an issue. There definitely is an issue. And that issue is genetics. So you have DNA, which is the do or die thing, and the genetics, which is telling you how you should respond to your DNA. Well, you're free, you're an American, you don't have to do what other people tell you to do and that kind of thing. And this is the way people think and act and live, and they miss. You ask, have we changed human nature? Can we change it? No, it has to be transcended. And this is something that most people simply do not understand. I have to transcend the nature of my ego, my vanity, my pride. I have to be able to transcend it, which means rise above it and not to be hooked into it, thinking that whatever it is that is my human nature has the right to dictate my wants over your needs. And that's the key. Everybody's, you know, thinking about what their body wants, what their ego wants, what their desires are, all that kind of stuff. They're missing. They miss the meaning and the significance of what it is to really care about another person beyond the confines of my desires, our desires. There's something very transcending, Carol, very beautiful about caring more about what you are going through and what I could even put you through if I were careless than my own desire to be happy or to feel satisfied or gratified. And you're now attacking from that point of view, oh, DNA instinct, genetic instinct. And that is very, very powerful, this instinct to want to have what we want, to try to get what we want, to live what we believe we deserve. And we come up with all this stuff, and it's just human urgings, instincts. It's nothing more. It's not like we're living for something that's really wonderful, that we're doing something gargantuanly compassionate. No. You know, we're all tempted to do stupid things in our life, to say stupid things, to come up with ideas and ideals and say the ridiculous, the redundant, the foolish, the conventional, all thinking that we have the right to say it, or this is, I'm just being honest. I don't need your honesty. No one needs your honesty. We need your compassion. We need your mercy. We need your forgiveness. We need your generosity. And people are not generous enough to give those things. What you are seeing with the American public right now is their immense selfishness, pride, stupidity. So, Carol, to change human nature, this pandemic is not changing human nature at all. It really isn't. This pandemic, this thing we're going through right now, is simply accentuating human need, human desire, human ambition, human pride, human desire, instinct. And we're not maturing. This isn't about maturing. This is about staying about where we are, as we are, the way we are, and not maturing and growing past that. You can't teach a person to be compassionate. You really can't. And you can't teach a person to be kind. You can teach people to be sympathetic, and that's about it all. To have some empathy, you can do that. But that's artificial. But it's truly a beginning. But the thing that most needs to be done is to be truly, authentically compassionate, to have mercy towards those who need our help. So, Carol, no, I don't think you can change human nature. That's why we have a Congress and a president, and why we have governors, and why we have mayors and cops and all that, because we can't govern ourselves. We just don't have any bloomin' common sense nor consideration of other people. We don't regard that as being very important. So sad. I'm sure that was insulting, but Carol, your question was vital and important, and I want to acknowledge that and thank you for being so kind. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you were kind. All right, the last question comes from Linda. I always like to end them on this. What is best, technology or religion? If we follow technology and add religion, we could all overcome this and go back to our normal lives. Linda. Linda, technology is a wonderful thing. I don't disregard it. I really don't, because technology is allowing me to share with you right now on this radio program my voice. Religion, religion is falderal. Religion is hate packaged in the whole idea of legitimacy. And I don't like religion at all. Religion is a backwards move. You put that with technology and you have self-righteousness. You have self-righteousness and any ugly thing is possible in the course of a person's life. You can use technology to do many things that are helpful to humankind. Cook your food, eh? You know what I mean? Wash your dishes, mow your lawn, whatever. It can also be used to destroy people's lives. And we take it too far as human beings. We always take things too far. And that's why we're in the predicament we're in. We take things too far. So religion is merely to cantonize our technology. It is to make our technology serve the purposes of manipulation, which is what religion is all about. How else are you going to deal with people who have no common sense, who have no consideration for the other person? You have to threaten them. You have to frighten them. And that's what religion does. It threatens and it frightens people, God-fearing people. You have to fear God when Jesus said, God is love. And I believe that that is truly a very powerful statement. God is love. But what does that imply? Now you're talking about something totally different. What is this love? Is it the love of human beings? Is it the love that human beings emit from their ego, their vanity, their pride? What is this love that Jesus spoke of? That is a life endeavor. And it isn't something you can describe with words. God is love. It is a love, the love, not the love Greg knows, not the love that Linda knows. It is just love. And the whole quest of life is to realize that love, to let this love and discover it live you and bring to you beauty, bring to you compassion, bring to you everything that is meaningful, that sustains the very soul of your being. But who cares about all of that? In the bottom line, Linda, we've combined technology with religion, and we've come up with self-righteousness, none of which has helped us as human beings, nor never will, and has caused us to live in a very ugly way. And this is just the way we are. We like to live ugly, and that's what we do. And we don't mind living ugly if it means that we think we're right. And as long as that premise is number one inside of us and in our life, that's the way it will be forever and ever. I hope that helps. I'm out of here. Please forgive me. Hey, Linda. Namaste. I'll be back on the air tomorrow with some more very interesting questions. Thank you for listening. If you have a question you want to ask, just email me at greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E.org. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.